Hey, this is Pastor Doug Page, and we are looking at the book of 1 John, talking about the topic of that we may know. John helps us understand that we as Christians can have assurance in knowing that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we're going to be listening to this and studying this for the next several weeks. Hope you'll continue to join us. Now, let's jump into this podcast. And for more information, join us at grapevinesfirst.org.
Good morning, church family. If you were here last week, then you know that last week in worship, we began our new series, so that you may know, right? And so it's the 1 John series, and Pastor Doug kind of kicked it off last weekend with an introduction just to the entire book of 1 John. And so if you're here with us, and if you plan on continuing to come, then the next several weeks, we're going to be in 1 John. And so make sure you grab one of those little 1 John books and start reading ahead with us, because we are super excited about this series. Pastor Doug called in Dre and myself as the three that will primarily be the ones teaching through 1 John with you on Sunday mornings. And we spent hours this past week just kind of going through the entire book of 1 John, working along together. And Pastor Doug had already done all the outline and broken up the scriptures, but we got a time to where we could just be excited for how God is going to work through 1 John in this congregation. And we are super excited about it. We even had a discussion where, you know what, we could probably do 1 John in just a handful of weeks, because it's not like it's a really long book. But we see all of the power and depth in 1 John to where it just made us excited. So we're, you know what, we're just gonna slow it down a little bit, and we're just gonna spend some time in 1 John for the next several weeks. And so strap in. And so hopefully you like 1 John with us, because it's gonna be several weeks long. And Pastor Doug started off last week with the introduction, where he shared about how we can have assurance in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And because of this assurance, that should extinguish any fears about being in eternity apart from God, and how this activates a lifestyle of devotion to God and stimulates spiritual growth. That's good. And then Doug led us through how there are four major themes in 1 John. And these four major themes, we're going to kind of start off and introduce the first one a little bit today, which is the fellowship with God. And the second major theme is devoted obedience, and then loving others, and then discerning truth. This morning, we're going to open up our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. Pretty easy to remember, because it's 1:1:1, right? And so I invite you right now, go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 4. Only 4 verses this morning, and so it's not a ton. Pretty easy to follow along. And so 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. In this passage, there's three main words in these four verses that really stand out to me. And that is manifest, that is proclaim, and that is joy. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take these four verses, and I've got three main points on what we kind of will extrapolate from these passage. And that is that the word of life is manifested in you. The word of life is proclaimed by you. And the word of life is joyful. It's joyful. So let's kind of break down what's happening in this passage. You see, John wrote this book after he wrote the Gospel of John. And so we just came out of John and a study in John. But this is written after the Gospel of John was written, but it's written before Revelation, okay? And not only does he write 1 John, but there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as we've already kind of talked about a little bit. And so But what's interesting, though, is that 1 John is written different than 2 and 3 John. 2 and 3 John were both written as letters, very similar to New Testament letters, where it began with a introduction, you know, introducing who the speaker is and who they are addressing. And that's whenever you read 2 John and 3 John, that's how it starts off. But like what we just read, that's not how 1 John starts off. You see, 1 John is more of a homily. It's more of a sermon written to the church that he's writing to. Does not begin like any of the other letters in John or like the other letters in the New Testament. That is the case with the letters of 2 and 3 John, but not 1. And so in 1 John, the author jumps right into the presentation, which is an exhortation from the beginning all the way through the end, which is which has how John just begins his letter. My very first main point that I want to dive into this morning is that the word is manifested. The word of life is manifested. In 1 John, it starts off 1 through 2. It says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest. And we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He's telling the reader why he has the right to speak. You see, you have to remember, in 1 John, he's writing this letter to a church, much like as if he was writing this letter to us here at Grapevines First. He's writing this letter, and the first thing, I don't know about you, but the first thing I want to know is why should I listen to him? If we were to call in a new pastor here, the first thing that you would want to know is, okay, what's his resume look like? What is his theology like? Can we get to know him? What is his walk with Christ like? Very rarely does a church call in a pastor and do no research at all. And so John is writing this letter to the church, and he's really just kind of saying, hey, here is who I am. But he's doing it in a humble way. He's not coming out saying, hey, listen, I'm an apostle of Jesus, and you need to listen to me. But no, instead, he's just simply saying, hey, listen, let's have fellowship together. I want to walk with you. I want to be on the same team as you. I want to be able to just come together. And I want to tell you that I'm a witness of Jesus. I'm the witness of this word of life. And why is that important for him to justify himself? Well, in Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And then we see in just a few verses down in 1 John where John starts writing and he's warning of the antichrist that are coming in. And so if you're here in a few weeks, you'll get to hear and read about that. But he's giving warnings of there's false teachers here right now. I don't know about you, but we can look across the culture that we're currently in and we see where there are false teachers and pastors all over social media, all over the nation. And we see where 1 John is telling you, hey, listen, that's a problem. Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you just who I am so that's where you can vouch for me. So John is protecting the church. He's letting them know who he really is. John starts off by saying that he's a witness. It is his personal experience that he points to rather than his position of authority or a position of apostleship. Instead, what he's saying is, hey, listen, church, I have heard Christ Jesus. He personally was there to hear all of Jesus's marvelous teachings. I don't know about you, but whenever you read 1 John and whenever you read through the Gospels and you read about the walk with Jesus and the life of Jesus, we get to read about it. But John is saying, hey, listen, I'm not just reading about it. I was actually there. I got to hear everything. John was there and he heard all of Jesus's incredible claims and the promises that Jesus has made us. John heard Jesus deliver the Sermon on the Mount. John got to hear those I am statements that we just did a series on, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Think of all the parables that John got to listen to and got to hear from Jesus, the good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the talents. You see, John heard Jesus' promise, I will be with you always. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me. John got to hear these promises. John heard the very words spoken by Jesus, and we can trust this testimony. John says that he has even seen Christ Jesus. So he's saying, I've heard him. I've heard all of his teachings. I've heard all of his promises. But I haven't just heard him. I've also seen him. I've seen Christ Jesus. And just imagine everything that John was able to see. He got to see the miracles, feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the paralyzed, the sick, the leprous. He got to see the demon-possessed. He saw Jesus raise a boy from the dead and give him back to his mother. He saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, who had been in the tomb for 4 days. He saw Jesus be crucified and then not, and be raised out of the tomb 3 days later. He saw Jesus transfigured on the sacred mountain. He saw Jesus ascend into heaven and was hidden by the clouds. Yes, John has seen it all with his own eyes. He is writing saying, I am a witness. I have heard, I have seen, and I've also gazed at Christ. He's saying, I haven't just looked at him, but I have gazed at him. You see, there's a difference between seeing something and truly gazing at something. The verb used for gaze means to gaze at someone or something until one grasps the significance of the person or the thing. He is saying, hey, listen, I haven't just caught Jesus at a glimpse. I've spent enough time with him to where I understand his significance in this life. But it says that he also finally touched Jesus. He heard him. He saw him. He touched Jesus. Using his own hands, John had personally spent time and touched Jesus. Jesus was no mere phantom. He was a real human being facing real human emotion with the same human struggles that we face here, with the same sadness and the same celebrations. And I'm sure Jesus probably tripped and scuffed up his knee, and I'm sure he did clumsy things just like you and I did, because Jesus was really a human with real human emotion and real human physicality. It says that Jesus, or John, had touched him during the Jesus' three-year ministry before the crucifixion. And then after the resurrection, John was one of the ones that touched Jesus because he was there with him. You see, using all these senses where he heard, he saw, he touched, he's writing this letter saying all these things, saying, hey, listen, church, here's who I am. I bear witness to the word of life. I bear witness to Jesus. I know what he did. I know the sacrifice that he made. I was there with him. You can trust me. Why? Because I'm not bringing false teachings. I'm coming humbly to you just to fellowship with you in a Jesus that has resurrected from the dead. He's saying, I am coming to you to simply let you know that I am a witness of the one who is Jesus. You see, the word of life is also proclaimed, though. John didn't just sit there and say, okay, I've heard him, I've seen him, I've talked with him, I've touched him. He didn't just say that, but he said, okay, now I'm here to proclaim the word of life with you. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, it says, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. I'm not just here to have manifestation, but I'm here to proclaim the word of life, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's a theologian, his name's John Stott, and he wrote this. It's kind of a lengthy quote, and so just bear with me as I read it to you. It says, the historical appearance of the eternal life was proclaimed, not monopolized. The revelation was given to the few for the sake of the many. They were to declare it to the world. Jesus not only showed himself to the disciples to qualify them as eyewitnesses, but gave them an authoritative commission as apostles to preach the gospel. Our author insists that he possesses these necessary credentials. Possessing them, he is very bold. Having heard, seen, and touched the Lord Jesus, he now testifies to him. Having received a commission, he proclaims the gospel with authority. For the Christian message is neither a philosophical speculation, nor a tentative suggestion, nor a modest contribution to religious thought, but a confident affirmation by those whose experience and commission have qualified them to make it. Church family, this morning I ask you, one, is the word of life manifested in you? Do you know who Jesus is? Is Jesus manifested within you? Have you felt the Holy Spirit present in your life? Can you proclaim his word now? That's what I want to ask you is not only do we manifest, but church family, are you proclaiming the one? Guess what John is saying? He's saying, hey, listen, church family, I'm here to witness, to be a witness, but I'm here to fellowship with you by proclaiming who Jesus is. You see, church family, we all have credibility that we need in him. So now we must go and we must proclaim him. See, John is writing this homily and showing them, hey, we're all on the same team here. We're all in church together. Grapevine's First Baptist Church, we're all here in church together. We're all one body of Christ. We must not only manifest in his word, but we must also go out and proclaim it together and be in fellowship with one another. You see, John is showing that they have a common denominator, and that is the word of life. He has the common denominator with this church that he's writing the letter to. And that is Jesus, the word of life. So how are we to proclaim the word of life? Through preaching, through teaching, through witnessing, through our testimony, through reading of scripture, by simply going out and being a witness of Jesus. Each and every one of us that have accepted Christ into our life, that are walking with him, each of us have a story to tell. Each of us have a way to go out and share with the people around us saying, hey, listen, this is how I'm a witness of who Jesus is in my life. I ask you to leave this week in joining alongside me in proclaiming the word of life. In Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into the myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You see, John is writing this homily saying, I have witnessed Jesus. I have seen him. I've touched him. I know him. And because of this, I proclaim him. If you know him this morning, we need to proclaim him. And I want to proclaim him with you. I want to fellowship with you. And why is that? Why is John writing this letter? Why is he writing this homily? Why is he saying these words? Why is he saying all of these things? Why? Well, we can see it in verse 4. It says, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We write all of these things. I bear witness today about the word of life. Why? So that our joy may be complete. Why do we need a fellowship together? So that our joy may be complete. Why do we need to proclaim who Jesus is and everywhere around us? So that our joy may be complete. The word of life is joyful. See, John's goal in all of this was not to seek after joy and happiness first in life. You see, that's a big problem in the culture that we live in. In the world that we live in, everybody's just simply seeking after what's going to make them happiest. We're in a culture to where our joy is what drives a lot of what we do. We're constantly making decisions and seeking after what is going to make us happiest in life, and we make decisions and we're on these quests for joy. We spend our whole lives trying to get happier. And then we bring a lot of emotion into it, and that's why people get married, and that's also why they get divorced at the same time. It's because happiness. They marry a person because they want to be happy. but then they divorce a person because they're no longer happy. We start and stop drinking and doing other addictive things for the same reason. They start drinking because they like how it feels. But then they stop because it's taking a toll on their body and they don't like how it makes them feel. We buy and we sell things for the same reason. We have something we want and therefore it's going to make our life better. So what do? We save up our money and we go buy it. And then shortly down the road, we find that next thing that we just have to buy because it's going to make us happiest. And it's an ongoing trail of us chasing after happiness and joy. You see, John's joy is complete as those to whom he wrote understood the kind of fellowship they had. Their fellowship was not only with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but their fellowship was also with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus himself even gave a sermon on fellowshipping with God, recorded by John in chapter 15 in the Gospel of John, where it says in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." You see, when we experience Jesus and embrace joy, we're connected daily to God. We're given this manifestation of eternal life. And this plays out through our feelings of peace, our thoughts of care, our promptings of compassion, and our spiritual guidance. You see, C.S. Lewis says it, I think, well, whenever he says, when we are such as he can love without hindrance, we shall in fact be happy. I'm going to read it again. When we are such as he can love without hindrance, we shall in fact be happy. You see, joy doesn't simply just happen. Joy isn't something that naturally just happens for us. A lot of times it's a choice. It's a choice by faith to pursue Christ and love others like he has loved us. Joy is not our goal. It is our reality whenever we receive the word of life. Whenever we receive Jesus in response, we get joy. We can't make happiness or joy our goal, but rather must pursue Christ each and every single day. And in doing so, we'll grasp the promise of joy that is guaranteed to follow. You see, we see in this first chapter of John where John's joy and invitation to have joy with him comes from having the word of life manifested in him. That's what we see in these first couple verses. And because of the word of life is manifested in him, we see where he then is proclaiming it. And through proclaiming the word of life and seeking to know Jesus more and fellowshipping with other believers, we see where joy comes from. We see where we are to abide in Jesus. If you're here last week, Pastor Doug spoke on this last week where he gave the definition of what it means to abide. Abiding is a posture of dependence on Jesus. Abiding is a posture of dependence on Jesus. You see, when we have a posture of dependence on Jesus, this is when we will truly understand what the greatest joy in our life is. This morning, we're going to close out in song, and we're gonna sing the song that you learned earlier, Abide. But I have three questions that I want you to kind of meditate on as we worship together, as we close out in worship. The first question that I have for you this morning is the word of life manifested in you? Is the word of life manifested in you? Do you know Jesus? Is he evident in your life? The second question is, are you proclaiming Jesus? Are you sharing your testimony? Are you going and saying, here is how I can be a witness of who Jesus is in my life? I can just show you all these examples of how the Holy Spirit has led, how the Holy Spirit has blessed me, how I have felt the presence known, and I can just be a witness to God's goodness through my life and my life alone. Are you proclaiming that to others? And lastly, are you abiding in him? Abiding in him. receiving this great joy that only Jesus can provide. And that comes through abiding in him. Having this posture of dependence on Jesus. John writes 1 John, not with the mindset of lecture. He's not writing saying, hey, here's how I'm going to correct you. See, sometimes we see those letters in Scripture and in the Bible, but that's not what 1 John is. 1 John, John is writing to the church saying, hey, listen, we're on the same team together. We serve the same God together. We abide in Jesus together. You can trust my teachings because I can bear witness to the one. John is saying, I've seen him. I've heard him. I've touched him. I know who Jesus is, and I just want to be with you guys to proclaim his goodness. I want to proclaim him with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to abide in him with you. This morning, let us join alongside with that exact posture of abiding in the word of life, abiding in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We hope that you are encouraged. Join us next week as we once again open God's word.